A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
It has been 2 weeks since the mishap, the misadventure, the chaos that was the Pulsar Quest, and Anarchy Fortuna finds themselves on a private ship that they have most likely bought with their ill-gotten gains from the millions upon millions that she stole from the crime lords of Nar Shaddaa. What is the name of this ship, Velvet?
I wasn't ready. ooh, what's a spooky name? Oh, the HMS Siren's Wail.
Okay, the HMS Siren's Wail.
But that's W-A-I-L, not W-H-A-L-E. That's a different ship.
Yeah, that's the one for that's for special occasions.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on the ship, and what does Anarchy do in their downtime?
I think in the downtime, it's definitely just probably working on the company more, still probably scanning for like a suitable site when she's not upgrading FR3Z's surgical capabilities.
Cool. All right, so you are doing, say, your bookkeeping, you're checking out your plans for your company. And
admin bullshit, as she affectionately calls it.
Exactly, that red tape that has to get done, and no one can do it better than Anarchy. You hear the mechanical steps of FR3Z enter your room, and that matte black surgical droid with the unblinking red glowing eyes walks in, and this once just hyper sociopathic droid is now kind of like your spooky butler, if you will, and he walks in and goes,
"Madam, I have just made arrangements with Nar Shaddaa. The Archaeum Asylum will be more than happy to take Dr. Turner, as long as the donation you agreed upon is deposited before we arrive."
"Wonderful. Thank you for that, Mr. Freeze."
"Madam, could I please query something? From a logical standpoint, would it not make more sense to just void this poor individual into the healing vacuum of space? It would end their suffering neatly, humanely, and very quickly, and has the additional benefit of saving you hundreds of thousands of credits, which you are expected to be donating."
"It would, but I'll consider this a debt repaid."
"Very well, madam. And speaking of the business, I know you had been looking for a suitable planet in the Outer Rim to start your new economic endeavors. I believe I may have located an interesting alternative for you, if I may be so bold."
"Go ahead."
"I have learned through the connections established in my previous employment that the Hutts Ichana and Slippery Mott are getting divorced. They are selling their assets, one of which is a small dwarf rogue planet on the fringes of space. It is currently closer to Sith territory, and so your activities will be more than accepted there. A rogue planet does not give you a targetable home, and should also give you the freedom to make the investments I know you are intending to make."
"Ooh, sounds interesting. What is this rogue planet called?"
"The planet bears the delightful sobriquet, Kallus. My databanks show that Slippery Mott named it after their favorite Lycor. But I am sure that, with a suitable donation, the star registries could be updated to a new name of your choosing. Although Kallus does have quite the endearingly ominous ring to it, if I do say so."
"I would agree. We'll wait and see when we get there."
"Very good, madam. I will return to the bridge and ensure that we arrive on schedule. Unless there are any further tasks you require from me?"
"Load up the Mid-Coruscant dialect on the PA. I think it's time for a change."
"I will do so, madam. Will you be taking your repast at the regular time?"
What the hell is regular time, Mr. Freeze?
Ah, true. Time is nothing more than a lie that society has told us. I had somehow managed to forget your mantra.
Looks like you need to revisit the canticles of Wowzer.
Forgive me, madam. I will, of course, re-upload the Gospels to my central processor as I do the rest of my duties.
And the droid turns, eyes unblinking, and slowly, mechanically walks out of the room. The doors close, and Anarchy, can you go back to your bookkeeping on your data pad, and then after maybe a few minutes or hours, as we know time isn't real, you hear kind of like a buzzing in the back of your head, and it's not a painful buzzing, and it's not like an annoyance, but it's like you just hear it, almost like someone's trying to tune a radio station or a signal in that you just can't seem to get. And as you kind of focus more and more on it, you realize that it's coming from where you stored the holocron that you just received from the Pulsar quest. Where did Anarchy leave that holocron for safekeeping? Where's the safest place for Anarchy to leave it?
How big are the holocron?
Well, you guys have shot down my previous example. I said it was roughly football sized at one point, and I always said no. And I've been told that we are saying in our universe they're roughly softball sized. So large grapefruit, small watermelon.
Okay. I mean, if it's on her ship, it's probably like in some kind of... No, a safe is too obvious. It's probably like at the bottom of like a pile of laundry.
All right, so we look we will see the hamper that's by the corner of the room. The very mid, we'll say the midsection of it is kind of starting to have a nice glow to it. It's a kind of a bluish purple glow that's kind of happening to it, and it's just kind of getting brighter and brighter as that sound is getting louder and louder in the back of your head.
Anarchy will duck behind something, probably a desk, and then start picking up, like, little garments with her tentacles to uncover it.
Sure. Well, once all the garments are out of the way and the holocron is sitting there, the last garment is pulled, and then the holocron itself just kind of floats up and is hovering there above the dirty clothes and the hamper there. And once it frees itself, the pulsing gets brighter and brighter until the room is filled with this kind of purple lavender almost light in the room, and it gets brighter and the light just solidifies into a form. At first it's just glowing, no features can be told, but as the sound diminishes, the pulsing slows down, the form before you is once again Jedi Master Ajunta Paul, the long forgotten or long erased, I guess would be more accurate, as the Jedi erased Ajunta Paul from their records, is standing before you again. Now, you haven't seen Ajunta since you guys were in the caves of Ilum, and I know that Skip saw Ajunta on his last mission. And as we know, each part of the holocron is a section of Ajunta's being, his essence, his knowledge. So even though you have spoken to Ajunta before, this Ajunta may or may not recognize you, as it's not a full version. Assume it's like a bootleg copy of Windows that's missing, maybe like Excel and Word, or, you know, the media player's not there, so you got to use VLC. So you just kind of make it do, but it's working enough.
Is this the Rage holocron from the cruise ship?
The Rage are really, it's the emotional holocron, the one that that amplifies one's emotions. And we were able to see that because, like, characters like our poor beloved Mojito wasn't angry. He was just joyous and happy and just had a disregard. That's why he flung himself off the cliff there. And
or went out for Mojito.
Exactly. Poor Mojito. And other characters just lost themselves in the gambler or the Civil War reenactors that we had on there. They had lost themselves in their emotions. So it's not so much a ragey thing, but it basically turned whatever you're feeling up to 11, because we know that Ajunta's disciples were experimenting in multitudes of the Force. One was to prolong life, another was to heighten or decrease emotional connection to the Force, and there was also one working on mixing animals with foods. So this is our emotional holocron. So Ajunta kind of manifests, looks around, and lays eyes on Anarchy.
I used to command echelons of the Force Sensitive. Now I am a deodorizer.
Who let you out of the box? And I'm going to grab my, like, my Bog Witch blade in one tentacle and kind of do that, do, like, that bug thing where, like, Anarchy's, like, hunkering down, but the tentacles are snapping.
You can't hurt me in a way that matters.
I can try.
Feel free. Exert yourself.
Well, no. Not that you said I could. I don't want to anymore.
You're sipping from many different cups.
I'd like to make sure they stay half full.
Perhaps you are being filled.
Phrasing.
Gesture slightly with my head.
So, what now?
What do you want?
Last we spoke, you needed us to find all the rest of the holocron things.
And I see that you've taken to that task.
Sort of gesture at the disgusting room.
With single-mindedness, as you can see, with exception to basic hygiene. Definitely did not find that holocron entirely by incident. It was purposeful.
Just sort of placidly stares at you.
So do... Are you, like, your own program in there? Do you remember the talk we had in the caves?
Scattered pieces. I am not myself.
I mean, it's pretty difficult to be yourself these days. I don't know how much you remember of it, but do you remember when we talked about Momin? Likes machines. Kind of a dillweed.
Yes.
A
weed to be plucked from the garden. To let more graceful flowers grow.
So I plucked that one. But the thorns kind of stuck to my shoe. And I'm going to, like, hover the mask in front of me. Not putting it on, but I'll just go, he sort of woke up and is now trapped in my head.
There are ways to exercise a spirit.
Go on.
You might learn more if you studied harder.
Ooh. Traditional studying methods don't really work for me. I function on a more sporadic, intuitive kind of thing.
You would prefer a tactile lesson?
Tentatively, yes.
This technique can be used to safeguard precious information and to stop you from succumbing to Momin. At its zenith, you will be unreadable. You might be able to make yourself imperceptible if you master it.
Ooh, is that like making my mind invisible?
You'll be too much for a person to perceive with the Force.
That's kind of already the case. I mean, you could try borrowing my brain for like 5 minutes, but you'll be like, whoa, she's too much. Because I exist on a level that's maybe not from this terrestrial plane of existence.
Show me what you mean.
So Ajunta reaches out with his Force ghost hand and places it on Anarchy's shoulder. And Anarchy, you are flooded with someone changing the channels in your head. Just quickly. Like someone just flip, flip, flip. And you are seeing the most emotional moments of your life just flashing through you. So what is the happiest Anarchy's ever been?
Probably just doing shenanigans with Skip.
Okay. So Anarchy will see maybe when they were like 11 or 12 before the fallout, the chaos, before you had to go to the count, you guys just running some sort of scheme or some shenanigans back at the Fortuna Mansion. What was the most scared Anarchy's ever been?
I think probably when they had to go with the count and separate from their parents.
Sure. So you are hit with this overwhelming just scaredness. We have seen a part of that scene in a Skip flashback of the Fortuna Mansion under attack by Imperial forces. There's explosions. There's just gunshots. Trusted servants, people you've grown up with your whole life, are dying in front of you, are sacrificing themselves to make sure you, Skip, and your parents can get away. And in that moment where you're scared, at least you have your mom and dad, until you don't, until they push you onto a craft. And without even a goodbye, the ship doors close and you're ripped away from your parents. And then there's another emotion. What is the saddest that Anarchy's ever been? We talked about scared. What is the saddest?
The saddest, I think, is probably when we had the sad rock, just because I think it amplified like just both of the twins, you know, kind of underlying sadness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, you flash back to that back of the cab where you're sitting with Skip, and you are just sitting there like with a blank stare forward, but you are just tears and sobbing, and you don't know why, because, like you said, Anarchy's brain works on a different path than everyone else, and you're able to sit there and look
usually,
at you.
Like, fucking tripping most of the time.
So it's probably.
But we talked about, you know, needing a clear mind for the Force. So in all this downtime, Anarchy's been trying to get sober. So I think in this moment, like, this is a sober Anarchy having to deal with this and not, you know,
not
being
able
midway through a bender.
Like, there's nothing to mask these feelings, these emotions that maybe Anarchy in their time has been able to figure out whatever pharmaceuticals or whatever mixture of whatever can make you have the emotions you want to have. And now that control that you've worked so hard to have is gone. But you're not overwhelmed. It's just you're feeling all these things in your head at the same time. And as you're just flooding with these images, these pictures, these sounds, you hear Ajunta's voice.
The Jedi would teach you to repress these emotions. The Sith would have you abuse them and wear them out until they no longer have any meaning for you. But you can feel this.
I'd rather not.
It can be a shield. It can be a shield and a sword.
So as those words are echoing in your head, you can kind of feel just a glimmer of, it's not overwhelming. It's not like staring into the sun anymore. You're kind of squinting and you can almost start to see the room again. Those images are still flashing around you, but you can see the pile of clothes. You see the Force ghost and the stuff is still going, but you're starting to see through it all that Ajunta's words are kind of pulling you back. But the white noise of emotion is still there until finally you're just snapped back into the room, and it probably feels oddly, oddly quiet because those emotions that were overwhelming you are just gone.
I don't like it when it's this quiet.
Feel the hum of the hyperdrive. The whirring of your servant. The stars are making music, too. It's never quiet.
So, after this great display of the Force, maybe Anarchy, you notice on Moman's mask, since you're not wearing it, you said you were holding it in one of your tentacles? You notice that that glow that Ajunta had is kind of glowing still on the mask. Like there's a faint, kind of like when you have a glow-in-the-dark watch from the 1990s, and it was in the sun just long enough, but it's kind of faded away, but it's still there. That kind of, you know, if you're old like me, you remember that. It's a McDonald's Happy Meal toy. And it's just kind of glowing that purple, and then it gets brighter and brighter, and now it's just kind of like a nice, soft 20-watt light bulb of light. And as you stare at it, the door is open to your room. And FR3Z walks back in, but differently than before. He's walking with a purpose. His stride is different. It's more, maybe more human. It's not as stiff and rigid. And he walks up to you, and he stares directly at you, turns his head, looks over at the Force Ghost. And Anarchy, you notice that the red eyes of FR3Z are now purple.
This is unusual. I've never attempted to be in a droid before. It feels empty. I would like to thank you for that extra boost that I needed to at least temporarily hold on to this form and be a part of this discussion. You, I don't recognize
as he looks at Ajunta.
I assume you're one of those foolish Jedi. So, Anarchy, we had made a tentative arrangement on that ship that I would give you the freedom to move if we could have a conversation about my status. I am tired of being a tool for you to absentmindedly use. I desire form. I desire purpose.
I mean, form is negotiable, but what is your purpose?
As always, to master the Force, to bend it to my will, to make this universe order out of chaos. It takes a firm hand.
And he raises his mechanical hand and looks at it and goes,
a hand of steel, perhaps, to shape this weak universe. I have been gone for quite a long time, and I'm excited to get out there and see what has changed, to see what I could do now. And I know I promised that I would not harm you, at least initially. But I would like to have a form more than this one. And I can sense on this ship another. Another being that is broken, that is pliable, which would be very easy for me to take. Now, what do you say? Do I take this cold droid? I don't mind being immortal. I've been living for 1,000 years already. Or I'll take that human form, that useless, broken form you have there on your ship.
Well, I do need my surgeon / butler, so it would be inconvenient if you took that one. You are welcome to the former Dr. Paige Turner, though I can't guarantee the longevity of that vessel, given that there is no long-term study on the effects of that gas.
Well, as long as she lives long enough to get me to another form, I will resume my practice of moving from form to form to find a suitable host. There's just something about a new body. It's like getting new robes. It's a fun feeling to stretch out and crush someone else's psyche.
I sort of understand the feeling. And she'll just flex her tentacles.
So if is all right with you, I will summon the good doctor and we'll make this change permanent. And I can restart my quest, as it were.
I think Ajunta just has been staring at Momin the whole time and then just stares at Anarchy.
Yeah, Anarchy definitely like shoots Ajunta a glance like, yo, like if you wanted to do anything, like now's the time.
So
I am diminished. I cannot protect everyone on this ship.
Oh, protecting the people on the ship is irrelevant. Everything I make is glared with a dead man switch.
The moment in FR3Z will turn his wrist over, little control pad will push some buttons, and in a few moments, I don't know, is Dr. Turner, do you have her, like, strapped to a bed, or are they around to just wander and mutter aimlessly to themselves on the ship? Where is Dr. Turner on the ship?
I assume she's probably sedated and, like, strapped to, like, some gurney or something.
Sure. Okay.
Like, I'm sure Anarchy isn't wanting for chemicals of that sort.
Sure. Small droid or two kind of wheel the bed in there. And Dr. Turner's just still mumbling to herself.
I thought I did it right. I thought I did it right.
FR3Z, or Momin. Or Momin 3Z. Whatever we want to call him. We'll go.
I need you to place the mask upon her. Now, this will mean you will no longer have the benefits of my knowledge or skills to aid you in the future, but I will then be out of your hair, or Leku, as it were.
I'm sure I'll manage, and I will put the mask on Dr. Paige Turner.
Yeah, so the mask is put on Turner's face, and the mumbling is kind of just muffled, and the droid puts his hand on just on the forehead, and you see the purple light brighten in its eyes, and then you can almost see through the circuitry of the arm, purple energy just crawl down its arm through its fingertips. And just kind of like veins of energy start stretching over the mask as it slowly begins to engulf Dr. Turner's head. And it changes its shape as it was kind of like, if you ever seen one of those creepy death masks they used to make in Victorian ages, it kind of looked like a Anarchy death mask since you've been wearing it for so long. So it kind of slowly melts from your face into Dr. Turner's face and it closes around her. And the body just sits up. And FR3Z's eyes turn back red. And it kind of just jerks left and right and goes,
Madam, my most profuse apologies. I entered without knocking. Is there something you needed?
Yes, FR3Z. You've been compromised. Reboot and reset security protocols.
I shall attend my quarters and undertake a full purge and reboot then, willingly erasing my personality matrices and memories as you command me to. How far back would you like me to reset myself? I presume not to the point before I entered your caring and benevolent service.
I assume it's like Windows when you have different save dates. You know, how far back did you want me to go back?
Yeah, it's less like reset to factory settings, more so like do a full security purge and like change the passwords, like that type of thing.
Run Galeries, run Nortons,
yeah.
Reset all passwords.
Alas, the repass of my logic pathways and removal of the offending memories will render me lamentably inoperable for 23.5897 cycles.
I will leave... What is the coffee bot's name?
Reginald.
I will leave Reginald in my stead then. I trust he will serve you as diligently.
As FR3Z walks out, I think we said he was red and blue.
the Reddit, the racer. Yes, yeah.
The red and blue calf bot that is Reginald rolls in and takes like as authoritative as a 3 foot tall cot like Keurig machine could be, takes its position in the corner very proudly, sitting there with a nice small whirring, and then maybe it pours you a cup of coffee as it sits there.
Yeah, the anarchy will nod Reginald with no hint of irony. They've drilled this.
Mm-hmm. Momin sits up and just does the shoulder roll, stretches out the arms, looks at the hands and goes, it's there. I could almost feel it. And he looks over at Reginald and sticks out his hand, or her hand, I guess. I don't know how it would be. It's a woman's body now. It's her hand. Her hand. And closes the fist, and you see the tray and coffee cup that Reginald was holding, not crushed all the way, but start to fold up. And he's like, you just see the stress. His hand is shaking, and then he stops. It's there. I will find it again. My connection to the Force. I can still feel it. So, you know in this moment, Anarchy, that Momin is not 100% himself, that he has to like reattune, like, you know, like Dungeon Dragons, you got to reattune to a magic weapon. It takes, you know, a day. Same thing. He's got to reattune this body to the Force because Paige Turner was not a Force wielder. So it's kind of my mouth is not working. Kind of just, what am I looking for? My brain is going blank. He's trying to force, because I don't want to say force himself to use the Force.
that sounds perfect.
Yeah. He's basically trying to force powers into this. So that is probably not going to help the longevity of Dr. Turner to basically force her body to mass produce midichlorians, because we all know midichlorians are the secret to the Force.
Of course.
Every effort burns away her brain. You have less than a day, Darth Momin.
That's unnerving that you know that, Jedi. I don't recognize you. I've been away for a while, let's say, on a sabbatical. But if you are like most Jedi, you are blunt and straightforward, so I assume you are telling the truth. I will have to limit my use of the Force until I could find another body that's healthier or stronger. Miss Fortuna, I know we are heading to Nar Shaddaa. I would ask we do not change this plan. If I remember from my scouring of your databanks, of the information that you would pass between your droids and your data pads.
And this is news to Anarchy that Momin has been watching everything you've done since you've had the mask.
That this planet that you are purchasing, I don't need a planet, but I might need a temporary residence. So maybe not today, maybe not in any near cycle, but I may come calling. Is that okay? Are you accepting house guests?
I'm sure I could make room for one since we're already so close.
We are like family, you and I. We are so alike. If you don't mind, I will find my quarters and change out of...
Looking down at the... I assume you haven't changed Dr. Turner's clothes.
No.
Yeah, the dirty, kind of bloody clothes that they've been wearing since the Pulsar quest.
Find something more suitable to a person of my pedigree. And maybe eat. I haven't eaten in forever.
And Momin just kind of just swings off the bed and nods the head towards Ajunta.
Master Jedi, I appreciate your advice.
And just leaves the room.
Ajunta looks at Anarchy, probably not even waiting very long for Momin to be gone.
Many serial killers dream of abilities like his. He will leave a tide of bodies. On Nar Shaddaa, he will be a legend. All because of you.
I'm always happy to facilitate the creation of another legend. I have another problem on Nar Shaddaa, and I'm half hoping they take care of one or the other. Or soften the other up for me.
Momin cannot be softened.
I don't think either of us are capable of killing him right now on the spot, unless you have ideas.
I have ideas. But I might not wish to kill Darth Momin yet. His essence could be changed. His ideas redirected. He was a bloody-minded monster. I doubt time has softened his appetite. I gave you the rod, now the carrot. Find the other holocrons. Unite me with more of my essence. The lessons do not have to be so rote. It can be imparted. It will be painful.
I think most of my pain receptors are shot at this point, so we can test that out. I hope at some point you'll maybe give me an idea or two about how to deal with that guy. Because I'm gonna have to kill him at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Don't you want to learn from Darth Momin?
I don't think Darth Momin is willing to teach what I would like to learn from him. At least as far as the...
You just want lightning.
I mean, I can make lightning in other ways. I'm saying that I don't think he's going to teach me his four secrets, and the Bog Witch is already kind of fulfilling that role. And as far as technology goes, I think I've left Momin behind quite a ways. A millennia, maybe.
Sith, you have rights for inheritance. Even Momin may be bound.
Say more.
Momin was bound to an object. How do you think that happened? A jealous apprentice? A last-ditch at immortality?
I believe by his own word it was a last-ditch at immortality.
How effective was it?
Surprisingly so.
Do you believe that he will maintain all of his essence as he burns through body after body?
I don't know how effective is the transition. Because I can maintain a program no matter how many computers I copy it into, but that depends mostly on the transmission vector.
There's only one vector. Find a way to control the mask. He bound himself into it, and in there, left himself open.
Yeah, with those words, Ajunta's essence kind of loses that focus, turns back into that energy being, and goes back into the holocron. The light dims, and it goes dropping back into the hamper to be the force deodorizer that it was being before. Anarchy, you sit there Reginald is kind of just whirring and beeping, kind of upset. You speak binary, and you know it's just him saying, "This was my favorite tray. I can't. Why would they just break my tray? I don't understand. That was..."
"Well, Reginald, that'll teach you to get attached to things. They break. We have more trays. There will always be more trays."
If a droid could sigh, little shoulders droop. A little more beeping. "Madam, do you need anything, or I shall go find a new tray?"
"Find a new tray, then more coffee. It'll be a long night. Or day."
"Time.
I can't tell in space."
"Yeah, I don't know how it works in space." So the little droid rolls out, and Anarchy is left alone. And before the doors even close, Anarchy, this is like your Christmas Carol. You're visited by a third ghost. And from... the book, the Bogwitch book, which you said you were holding it, or did you have it? I don't remember.
I had it. Anarchy has like a little shrine in her room, because I'm assuming like if this is her private ship, her room is like maybe half the ship. So she has like a little shrine in the corner where she probably has like the book on some kind of like podium or something, and like the cauldron that she brews the ichor in.
Sure. So the book, is it... Do you leave it rested closed, or is it open to whatever you were just reading?
It's open to whatever I was just doing.
Sure. So the book pages start flapping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until it stops in the middle. And just green, smoky tentacles kind of crawl out of the book into your cauldron. And you hear, like, bubbling and popping. And then just, like... a liquid mass kind of rises up, and it looks, again, almost like a junta as a force ghost. It doesn't have a form yet, and it sort of solidifies. And if you could imagine a jello mold of like Santa Claus, kind of like that, but of a Bogwitch, kind of, you kind of see through it in a jello-y type form. And she...
Gelatinous hag.
Exactly. And... she just shakes her head, and just random jello just comes flying about. And she looks.
"My child, look at you with all the arms. No, you definitely are a thing, aren't you?"
"I've been called worse."
"Oh, no, it's not a bad thing. It's just... you are different from the last time I saw you. The extra limbs, it's just a lot going on. It works for you. Nah, well, there is much I need to tell you and not a lot of time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry."
"Oh, don't worry about time."
"Unfortunately, I need not a favor, but a request. You know that I am not the first Bogwitch, and that you will not be the last, that..."
"I'll be the best, though."
"You have a ways to go. I have..." "You're learning from me. You are, at this moment, an impression of myself. I respect the desire to be great. I felt that way a few hundred years ago when I started this path. My teacher, my master, may she rest in the eternal bog, has sent me a message through the ichor that our home, Dathomir, has been threatened. Something or someone is trying to usurp our connection to the Aether that gives us our power, our ability. I am far too far away from it. The journey from Week would take me a lifetime. I know you, my trusted one, will do my honor and stand in my stead to protect my home, will you not?
Of course. It's technically my home, too, and no one messes with my stuff. Shoot a glance over where, like, Turner's room would be.
There are those I know that are different than those that call themselves Night Sisters.
And they stick out their hand, and little jello forms, humanoids, appear in their hand. And you notice one right away. The other is just a Night Sister that you've never seen before. But the other one resembles a small jello Aaron Windstalker.
These two, their connection to each other separates them from the rest, and I know that you and Windstalker have a connection. I believe that the three of you, combining your unique abilities, might save Dathomir and keep our connection to the Aether safe. Thank you. I will impart on them the idea of your arrival.
I'm on it.
There is a darkness surrounding our home that I have never felt before. I ask you to be safe. Not because I worry about your life, but I worry that my legacy will end with you running foolhardily into danger. For the sake of my knowledge and my tome that you have, do not die without passing it on to another. This is your oath, your duty as a bug.
All right, Anarchy would like look at a wall of diplomas like, I have so many legacies, but all right, what's one more?
Thank you, and if you do pass, I will see you in the Aether one day.
And the jello mold just falls apart and you just left with a pile of glowing green jello on your ground.
I like poke at the jello. So just jello? Yeah, it's like evaporate.
Yeah, it's like glow in the dark jello if it was such a thing. And as you touch it, it kind of just turns liquid and kind of gets absorbed into the ground. And just kind of over time just loses its form and disappears. But the room does smell like lime all of a sudden. So that's nice.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.
Described it like almost like how it was in like the Jim Carrey mask.
No, kind of like stretches around like the logo. Yeah, I was trying to remember. Yeah, because it was a bird head from a human head. How did it fit? We had to make up on the fly. It had to change shape to fit a bird. So, damn alien species with their non-universal head shapes. So, is there anything else you wanted to drop in there, Michael? Or yeah, I just want to say, Michael, I don't know if you are a force ghost in another life, but you are really good at this.
Hell yeah. So incredible.
Yeah, because I'm like, holy cow, I'm getting like chills. I'm like, yeah, this is what, yeah, I like it.
So good.
So I don't know if you say.
You're doing me solid.
Yeah, so we'll just keep going here. God rest, or not God rest, I wouldn't say that. What would they say? What did Bogwitch say? Not force
rest. Bog rest her soul.
Bog rest her soul. Okay, I like that.
My asthma, I don't know.
Yeah.